أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللائين التدائم الباقي على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد brothers and sisters in iman السلام عليكم. We have been looking at Surah Al-Jathiyah, Surah number 45 of the Qur'an. And the ayat that we looked till now are the ayat basically where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Qur'an and then the concept of His Tawheed and His the signs which bring us to the appreciation of Allah's power and glory. And the various responses that Allah talks about, negatively and positively. Those who believed, those who disbelieved, those who followed the teachings, and those who ridiculed the teachings. And so, at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now He's talking about the contrast. Now that you have two groups. And this has been there from day one in human history. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two ayats that we are going to look at this evening are the ayat where He talks about the two groups. And what He is saying is that, remember, these two groups cannot be same and equal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن نَجْعَلُهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَانْ مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Allah says those who have perpetrated misdeeds, those who have committed sins, this thing, they assume, they suppose that we shall treat them same as those who have faith and do righteous deeds, in a way that their life and their death would be all equal and same. The answer is no. Evil is the judgment. سَأَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Wrong is their judgment that they make on this matter. Allah will not treat them in the same way. So basically, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteeing here is that, remember, if you follow the message, you know, there is a result at one end, and if you don't follow the message, there is another result, and the result would not be same. And this is where He is basically talking about this issue of opposite values. This has been there from day one. You know, we look at the story of Adam alayhi salam, even before he comes to the dunya, you know, you have the shaitan on one side, Adam on the other side. Then look at the children of Adam himself. When you look at Qabil and Habil. And this goes on. You know, you have this struggle between Fir'aun and Musa. And this struggle of Fir'aun and Musa goes on in every generation. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about, you know, following Islam and those who don't follow it, you know, those who accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who reject that, this struggle and confrontation is part of human history from day one, and it will continue. And Allah says, I'm not going to treat them equally. You know, no, there are consequences in what they do. The path that you choose, you know, as believers will take you to paradise. The path that the non-believers or disbelievers take, it will take them to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a theme that Allah has mentioned in many, many different ayat of Quran. I'll just summarize some of the contrast that we see. For example, on the positive side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nur. Then He talks about Tayyib. Then He uses the term that those who are Basir and Sami, those who are seeing and hearing. Alladhina ya'lamun, those who have knowledge. And الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Basically, He describes them as أصحاب الجنة. Then, opposite of that, you will see many, many ayats. For example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasts Nur with Zulamat. And there are ayat where he says they are not sawa, they are not same. On one side he talks about tayyib, and then he says he talks about khabees. Tayyib and khabees cannot be on the same level. He talks about basir and sami', those who have the ability to see and hear. And then he talks about al-a'ma wal-asam, blind and deaf. Of course, not blind and deaf in the physical sense, but this is contrasted with those who are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. There is an ayat where Allah says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Do you think that those who have knowledge are same as those who do not have knowledge? No. لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They are not equals. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. In one ayat he says, you know, those who do good deeds. And those who are mu'min and do good deeds, they are not equal to the one who is musi, who does sayyi'at. And there, an ayat that he says, on one side you will have Ashabul Jannah, on the other side you have Ashabul Nar. Just one point here about the word Al-A'ma, the third line. You know, the way I've translated it, I've given the literal translation, but I put that in quotations. Just to make you realize that we are not talking about blindness and deafness in the literal sense. Rather, we are talking about, you know, blind or deaf in a spiritual sense. And this is where the ayat, the understanding of Quran becomes very important. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we are told that, you know, even Quran itself is very clear about it. In Surah Ali Imran, there is an ayat where Allah says they are ayat muhkamat and ayat mutashabihat. There are some ayat of Quran which are very clear in meaning. You don't really have to go here and there. You just look at it, you will know the meaning clearly. Then there are some ayat which are mutashabihat, where the wordings are not taken in the literal sense. It's more symbolic. And this is where the ayat goes on to say that the meaning of the ayat mutashabihat is with Allah and وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, those who are grounded in knowledge. And in the first place, of course, it is the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And one thing which comes out when we talk about mutashabihat is the term al-a'ma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this term in different ways. And in most of the places, he uses this term in a symbolic sense. He's not talking about blindness of the eyes. He's talking about blindness of the heart. There is one alim, marhum Sayyid Murtaza al-Askari. He talks about his journey to Mecca once for Hajj. And it was in Medina or Mecca. He happened to have a meeting with Sheikh bin Baz, the former Mufti of Saudi Arabia. And he was discussing this issue that, you know, in the Shia tafsir, our imams talk about this concept of the metaphorical meaning of some of the words. And this Sheikh bin Baz was insisting that no, because they are the one who are known as fundamentalist. The actual term fundamentalist in a religious context means those who take every word of the scripture in a literal meaning. So when we talk about, you know, the Christians in southern part of U.S., we call them fundamentalists, not in a political sense, but in theological sense. They believe in the literal meaning of everything which is there in the Bible. So the Wahhabis are fundamentalists in that sense. They say we don't allow any room for metaphorical interpretation of the ayat of Quran. And so when Sayyid Murtaza Askar realized this person is very adamant, doesn't want to accept any logic or sensible arguments that I'm presenting, he said, tell me then, how do you interpret this ayat? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever is a'ma in dunya, we are going to raise him as a'ma in the akhirah. The word a'ma is there. Whoever is blind in this dunya, we will raise him as blind in the hereafter. Now this fellow took it very personally because he was blind. And he said, no, I'm not, I didn't bring this ayat intentionally. I'm just making you realize that this ayat is not talking about physical blindness. You know, this is talking about spiritual blindness. If somebody is spiritually blind in dunya, he will be raised as spiritually blind in the hereafter. And so this is a point, you know, point of interest here. And so we see there is this concept of opposites in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after narrating the two different reactions in, among the people of Mecca to the ayat of Quran, he says, you know, we do not treat those who believe and those who don't believe as equals. They are not same. And therefore, the next ayat makes it even more clear. وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. And Allah created the heavens and the earth with the truth. With the truth here means with purpose. وَلَتُجْزِي كُلَّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. So that every soul will be recompensed with whatever it would earn. And they will not be dealt with unjustly. Means the purpose of this dunya is to test people. And the way they react to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is going to, you know, give them jaza, positive or negative. And therefore the word recompense would be more appropriate here. That those who do have iman and do good deeds, Allah will recompense them with reward. And those who disbelieve and do misdeeds, Allah will recompense with them with punishment. And so this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the whole purpose of creating the heavens and the earth is to test you. And on the basis of the test, I'm going to, you know, either reward or punish. So you will not be treated equally on the day of judgment in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something we see quite a lot in Quran. One more ayat about this. Because if the evildoers and the good doers, the kafirin and the mu'mineen are to be treated equally, then there is no sense in this. Why did we come to this dunya? You look at Surah Sa'd, Surah number 38, 27 and 28, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَ بَاطِلًا, that we have not created the sky over you and the earth, and whatever is between it, بَاطِلًا. بَاطِلًا means without a purpose. This was not created without an aim and a purpose. ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who don't believe in God, they think that there is no purpose for life. They are just a result of nature's accident. You know, it just happened to be there, that's it. But there's no, end and purpose and judgment. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah condemns those who disbelieve in Him with the fire of Jahannam. أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْعَرْضِ. You know, Allah says, what do you think? That we are we going to place the believers and good doers just like we are going to place the mufsideen, those who create chaos in the earth? أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينُ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Allah says, do you think we are going to place the righteous one, the muttaqeen, and fujjar on the same level and treat them in the same way? No, this is not going to happen. And so the contrast is always there. Mufsideen on one hand, mu'mineen and amileen of salihat on one other hand, you have fujjar on one side, muttaqeen on the other side. One famous ayat that we recite many times, it's part of a dua that you recite on Thursdays, Dua Kumail. There is it's an ayat of Quran where we say, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. You know, a person who is a believer, you know, Allah says, is he like a fasiq, a sinner? لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They are not equal. And this is where we come to this issue that this is an ayat, and I would like to, you know, extend this concept to a theological difference between the Shias and the Sunnis on this issue, that this is an ayat which is talking about mu'min and fasiq, not kafir. We're talking about Muslims here. But among Muslims, there is a mu'min and then there is a fasiq. Fasiq means a Muslim who commits sins openly. Okay, so we wouldn't be using the word fasiq for a kafir. He's a kafir. So fasiq is already, he's a Muslim. You know, but he is somebody who openly commits sins. And so Allah says, I do not even treat a mu'min and a Muslim fasiq on the same level. La yastawun, they are not equals. Now then we have this issue. Is this ayat only for those who came later on? Because we are told when we talk about the Sahaba of the Prophet, we have to believe that all of them were equal. And all of them were good. And all of them will go to Jannah. This is the concept we are, you know, expected to believe in. And this is where we get, you know, it's difficult for us logically to accept this concept. You know, you have the situation, for example, in Siffin. On one hand, you have the cousin of the Prophet, Ali. His cousin with him, Abdullah ibn Abbas. On the other hand, you have another cousin by the name of Zubair. You know, and then you have other Sahaba, Talha there, supported by Ummul Mu'mineen. You know, so what do you do there? We are asked by them to believe that both groups are okay. But well, they killed one another. The thousands of Muslims who were killed because of that dispute. And we are still to believe that they are both okay and both group will go to Talha and Zubair will go to Jannah and Amir al-Mu'mineen and Abdullah ibn Abbas also will go to Jannah. Then what is our fault? You know, that we have, why should we be, you know, struggling hard to do all good deeds? Because these fellows did something where, you know, about 14 to 15,000 Muslims lost their life in that battle. You know, and it doesn't make sense. But they'll say, no, because they are Sahaba. Well, Sahabiyyat by itself for us is not a blank check on a free passage to Jannah. We believe that we will look at the amal of individual Sahaba, those who are good. They were good. We will respect them. We will consider them to be our role models. But those who were not good, if they were fasiq, they were fasiq. And we will not respect them in that way. And so we are not against the Sahaba. What we are saying is that we do not believe in the infallibility of the Sahaba as a whole community of thousands who just saw him once and because they have this title of Sahaba, then they are okay. You know, this wouldn't be fair with the Muslims who came later on. It's interesting that this ayat came in an argument where Walid bin Uqba was having with Amir al-Mu'mineen. And that's where the ayat came down. Afa man kana, and this is from the Shia and Sunni Mufassirin both. Afa man kana mu'minan, referring to Ali. Kana ka man kana fasiqan. You know, can he be same as the person who is, you know, Walid bin Uqba? La yastawun, they are not equal. And this fellow was a Sahabi. A Qurayshi, a Sahabi. Not only that, the third Khalifa had appointed him as the governor in Kufa. And he's the same fellow who, you know, was so drunk that when the time of Fajr came, he was still intoxicated. He led the namaz instead of, you know, doing the zikr of ruku and sujood. He was having his, you know, Arabic poetry. And then when he ended up, you know, he said, should I extend the number of rakat today? And he was so drunk that Abdullah bin Mas'ud took his ring away because he didn't even realize what is happening with him as a proof. And they went to Medina, complained with the Khalifa, and because they were all relatives, he wasn't really willing to dismiss him. But when the pressure of the Sahaba increased, the Khalifa was forced to recall Walid bin Uqba to Medina. And the witnesses were threatened. But then, you know, the issue was settled and proven that he was drunk at that time. nobody was, you know, courageous enough to stand up and implement the punishment for those who are found publicly drunk. It was Ali bin Abi Talib who stood forward and he said, when it comes to implementing Allah's law, I will do this. And that's why they didn't like him, actually. And so you have this, you know, both of them are considered to be Sahaba in that sense. But you have one who is fasiq, according to Quran, and the other who is a mu'min. Don't tell me they are equal. And don't tell me they will end in the same, you know, place as far as akhirah is concerned. And this is where we see that the differences are there, and we have to keep that always in our mind. You know, sometimes we hear this statement about Amir al-Mu'mineen also, about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, there is a documentary being produced in Egypt. Initially, they had the name Muawiyah and Hassan and Hussein. Now they changed that name, but the movie is still there. And they're trying to portray that, you know, everything was okay. You know, there was no problem between Muawiyah and the Ahlul Bayt. And this is where we see some of them go to the extent of saying, you know, in Saudi Arabia, they actually have a textbook published by Wizarat al-Ma'arif, the Ministry of Education. The title is Amir al-Mu'mineen Yazid bin Muawiyah. They gave him this title. And you talk to them, you say, don't you believe in this statement where the Prophet says that Hassan and Hussein are Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah? They are the chiefs of the youths of paradise. They will say, yes. But what about then Yazid? You know, he's the one who ordered Hussein to be killed, and Hussein was killed. He's Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. He's the chief of the youths of paradise, and even Yazid is going to go to the paradise. You know, this is the logic that we do not really agree and accept. We believe there are standards and values which are opposites, and we follow those which are based on the Quran and teachings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat. When we talk about the concept of tawalla and tabarra, that's what it means. That we actually we are committed to follow the values of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. And we would like to disassociate ourselves from the character of those who were on the opposition to Ahlul Bayt. And that's where we see that, you know, in the earlier ayat, the very first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this term. He says, those who commit sins and those who believe and do good deeds, you know, we will not place them on the equal level. And then he says, not only that, سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ. Do these people think that their life and death will be same? No. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on a spiritual level, life of a mu'min would be different from the life of a fasiq. The end result of a mu'min would be different from the end result of the fasiq. And that's where we actually come to this concept when we talk about following Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that in Ziyarat al-Ashura, one of the statements that we have where we say, Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, وَمَمَاتِ مَمَاتَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ. That, O Allah, you know, let my life and death be dedicated to the way of the life and death of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Which means on haq, and on the basis of truth, and on the basis of good deeds. Salawat upon Allah. Even Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in the statement he made, in the presence of the governor of Yazid in Medina when he was called, and this was the beginning of the events of Karbala, when he rejected the demand to pledge allegiance to Yazid, look at the words. Again, he's showing the contrast where he says, you know, إن أهل بيت النبوة ومعدن الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومحل الرحمة, that we actually believe we belong to the family of Nubuwwat. My house is the house where the angels descend and ascend. You know, I am the member of a family where the root of Risalat is there. ومحل الرحمة, the mercy of Allah is in my family. My grandfather is Rahmatun lil Alameen. And then he says, he contrasts that with Yazid, where he says, وَيَزِيدَ رَجُلٌ فَاسِقٌ شَارِبُ الْخَمْرِ, he is fasiq, he is a drunkard, قَاتُلُ النَّفْسِ الْمُحْرَمَ, he is actually a killer of innocent lives. And then he concludes by saying, a person like me would not pledge allegiance to a person like Yazid. So this is a message for all the time, that we have to always keep in mind that, you know, the values are different of those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what those who do not believe in Allah. And we have to always try to be on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, that our life as well as death is dedicated to the life and death of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi majma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.